From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins the third in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. On seven occasions in John, the Lord Jesus used of Himself that name which belongs to God alone, the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush, I Am that I Am. The text for this message is verse 12 of John chapter 8. As we'll see from the scripture reading, the context is the narrative of the woman taken in adultery, whom the Pharisees said should be stoned. In their effort to place Christ in an awkward position, they found themselves rebuked and defeated. Immediately following that confrontation, Christ declared, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By this statement, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that He alone is that light, the only Savior of sinners. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, here's a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The text for today is found in Judges chapter 13 and verse 23, the words of Samson's mother. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would He have showed us all these things. This is a sort of promise deduced by logic. It is an inference fairly drawn from ascertained facts. It was not likely that the Lord had revealed to Manoah and his wife that a son would be born to them, and yet had it in his heart to destroy them. The wife reasoned well, and we shall do well if we follow her line of argument. The Father has accepted the great sacrifice of Calvary, and has declared Himself well pleased therewith. How can He now be pleased to kill us? Why a substitute if the sinner must still perish? The accepted sacrifice of Jesus puts an end to fear. The Lord has shown us our election, our adoption, our union to Christ, our marriage to the well-beloved. How can He now destroy us? The promises are loaded with blessings which necessitate our being preserved unto eternal life. It is not possible for the Lord to cast us away and yet fulfill His covenant. The past assures us, and the future reassures us. We shall not die, but live, for we have seen Jesus, and in Him we have seen the Father by the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Because of this life-giving sight, we must live forever.
My heart to
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the current issue is The Life of Elijah. The articles include Power Through Prayer, Called to Carmel, and Deliverance from Despondency. Also, this issue contains a missionary focus on the nation of Germany, as well as a challenge to Christian women on the widely neglected matter of modesty. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How to deal with cults? And can women be pastors? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Now we return to the study of John's Gospel, the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning himself. We have already looked, we're going to be in chapter 8 again, we have already looked at the great statement of chapter 8 toward the end of the chapter, verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. That statement of Christ concerning himself that he is nothing less than the eternal Jehovah. Before Abraham was, I am. There are seven other places in which the Lord Jesus makes statements about himself. I am, and he goes on in these places to elaborate somewhat and tell us some of the features, the characteristics of his person, his purpose, and his work. We have considered John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And this morning we come to John chapter 8. We're going to read together the first 12 verses of the chapter, and we'll be considering particularly the words of the 12th verse. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. As I said, the 12th verse is the verse to which we'll be particularly turning our attention this morning. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It was the morning after the Feast of Tabernacles. At that period of Jewish history, sadly, the Feast of Tabernacles had largely degenerated into a somewhat raucous celebration of the harvest season, and a celebration that, for all its religious ritual, which was still in place, was attended by much immoderate and carnal festivity. And so, when the Lord Jesus arrived early at the temple the morning after the feast had run its full course, it's not surprising that he was confronted with the case of a woman who, no doubt like many, many others, had defiled the holy feast with her immorality. The Jews, of course, sought to use that occasion to not merely condemn the woman, but to embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to deal with that conversation in any depth. The hypocrisy of the Jews is certainly very evident. The law of Moses was very clear. The first person to cast the stone at both the parties should have been the witness. The witness obviously was not doing it unless the Lord Jesus in some way identified him. Perhaps he was one of the accusers as well. We don't know. It's not worth really trying to give an opinion. But the law of Moses was clear. And these were liars and hypocrites. They said the law says she should be stoned. The law said no such thing. The law said both of them should be stoned. And so it's the old story, where was he? Perhaps he was one of them, I don't know. But having exposed their hypocrisy, driven them away, having dealt with the woman in grace, and I want you to notice some of the touches of mercy here, the indications that God had actually touched this woman's heart. Her accusers all turned away. The most natural thing in the world would have been for that woman to say to herself, my accusers are gone, and before they come back, I'm getting out of the way, and away I'm gone. But she didn't. She was there, riveted in the presence of the Lord Jesus, standing on before him to hear the words that are equivalent to the words of pardon. I do not condemn you. Not that he was going easy on her sin, because he immediately warned her not to return to it, but he gave her his pardon. Having done so, he immediately returned to his teaching of the people in the temple. Now, in the previous day, beholding the ceremony of the drawing of water from the pool of Siloam and pouring it out at the side of the altar of burnt sacrifice, a ritual that was designed to commemorate the water being drawn from the rock as the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness in the days of Moses, beholding that ceremony of the drawing of the water, the Lord Jesus had said, as we read in chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, standing in the temple on the day after all the festivities, he could see in the court of the women, here translated later in the chapter, the treasury, he could see there two vast golden candelabra that from the second night of the feast had been festooned with so many lights that it is said that they cast a glow from the Temple Mount over the entire city of Jerusalem. Standing there that morning, the Lord Jesus could see the candelabra, but the lights were now all dead and their brightness extinguished. But as they stood there, I believe, though some commentators disagree, I believe in mute but eloquent testimony of the end of the whole economy of Jewish ritual, as they stood there with their lights extinguished, the sun arose in all its glorious strength and splendor. And as the sun arose, we know this from verse 2, for it was early in the morning, as the sun arose and began to shed its golden light over that whole temple area, seeing these two things, the candelabra, the lights extinguished, the sun arising in all its strength, the Lord Jesus stood forth and he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, what the pillar of cloud was to Israel in the days of Moses, I am to the true Israel of God on their way to the land of celestial promise. What the sun is in the natural world, I am in the spiritual world, the sun of righteousness, the light of the world, the fulfillment of the promise that we read of in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, not only the glory of my people Israel, but a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now throughout the Word of God, this emblem of light denotes many things. Denotes truth. It denotes knowledge. Light stands for holiness, for happiness, and of course for glory. On the other hand, darkness stands for error, falsehood, ignorance, guilt, depravity, misery, and ultimately death and hell forever. Now all this sets the meaning of the Savior in our text in a very, very clear light. When he says, I am the light of the world, the emphasis is on the I, and I alone am that true pillar of fire, the essential glory of the Lord Jehovah. I and I alone am the light, in that I am the author of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I and I alone am the Son of righteousness, who can enlighten the benighted souls of men and women, driving away their darkness to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I am the light of the world. The full revelation of the glory of God. The source of all spiritual truth and understanding. The long-promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners, from the darkness of sin and death and hell. This is the Savior's meaning. I am the light of the world. In making that claim, the Lord Jesus speaks to us about his person. I am the light. I think he speaks about his power as the light, because in saying I am the light, he means also I shed light. And of course, he gives us his promise. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And the idea is there that I impart life. I want us to follow the thought that the Savior's giving.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.